Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? Country Club or Life-Saving Station? Based on our gospel just read from Luke 15, especially verse 4. Jesus said, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" I invite you this morning to follow the sermon outline on your handout as we consider our theme, Country Club or Life-Saving Station. Well, Beverly and I just returned from a getaway to one of our favorite places we like to go to, the Oregon coast. We love the ocean, we love all the lighthouses, and we stayed in a little town called Seaside, Oregon. But the entire drive, with miles and miles of seacoast, is simply breathtaking. Permit me this morning to share with you a modern seacoast parable. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often happen, there was once a crude little life-saving station. The building was just a hut. They only had one wooden rowboat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea. With no thought for themselves, they went day and night in that rowboat, searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little life-saving station, and it grew. It became a popular gathering place for its members, and they decorated it beautifully. They began to use it as sort of a club. Fewer members were now interested in going out into the sea on life-saving missions, so they hired a lifeboat crew to do the work for them. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crew brought in boatloads of tired and wet and cold people. Some were dirty. Some were sick. Some spoke a different language. Some came from a different culture. They didn't know the rules of the club. The beautiful new club was in chaos. So the property committee had a committee meeting and had a shower built outside the clubhouse so that the people who were shipwrecked could get all cleaned up before coming in. At the next club meeting, there was a split in the membership. Many of the members wanted to stop the life-saving work because it got in the way of the social life of the club. Those who said that life-saving was their purpose for existing were voted down by the majority. They were told if they wanted to keep bringing those kinds of people into the club, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. And this they did. History continued to repeat itself, and if you visit that seacoast today, you'll find a number of exclusive clubs along the coast. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, but most of the people now drown. Here is a pretty clear parable about the modern church, which might be busy doing many things, but perhaps has lost its vision and a focus as a life-saving station for others. Let's ask ourselves this question as Trinity Lutheran Church. Are you ready? Here's the question. Are we here at Trinity so busy with keeping our club members happy and keeping our clubhouse pretty that we have forgotten our calling as a life-saving station? In today's gospel reading from Luke 15, Jesus tells some church people of his day, they were called Pharisees, that God himself is in the business of seeking out and saving those who are lost. verses 1 and 2 tell us this. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man, Jesus, receives sinners and even eats with them." These religious leaders, these self-religious and self-righteous Pharisees, wanted nothing to do with tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were fellow Jews who worked for the hated Roman government and were considered by their countrymen to be traitors. Sinners. What was a sinner according to a Pharisee? According to a Pharisee, a sinner is anyone who did not keep the strict rules the Pharisees established for life and for worship. If you weren't a Pharisee, you were a sinner. These Pharisees could not imagine why a godly rabbi like Jesus would befriend and even eat a meal, with tax collectors and sinners. But like it or not, Jesus tells them and tells us that this is the very nature of God. And this is the calling he gives to us, his people. Almighty God is in the business of seeking out, loving, and saving the unfit, the castaways. And there is no room in the life of the Christian person or in the life of the church for a nose up in the air, holier than thou attitude. Sad to say, I meet more people than I want to meet who are not in church because of the way they've been treated by church people. To get his point across about God's nature to seek out and save the lost, Jesus tells the Luke 15 parable of the lost sheep. Listen to the words again. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and is lost, one of them doesn't leave the 99 in the open pasture, go after the one which is lost? And when he finds it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. He gathers his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance. Owning 100 sheep in Jesus' day was a mark of great prosperity. Was it really good business? Was it really good economics to leave 99 sure thing sheep and go look after one that had strayed away? Why don't you just cut your losses and move on? Heck, 99 out of 100 is pretty good. Why was one so important? In this parable, Jesus has us and his first hearers just where he wants us. He knew that the Pharisees then and we today love to quote Psalm 100 that says this: "We are God's people, the sheep of his pasture." That is, we pride ourselves in being the 99. But the Pharisees and often we today much don't like Isaiah 53 that says this: "All we like sheep have gone astray, each to our own way." That is, we don't want to see ourselves as the one that's lost. In fact, a famous Pharisee saying at the time, look on your sermon outline, Roman numeral 2, point B. A famous saying of the Pharisees was this. If you have it, would you read it with me? "There is a joy before God when those who provoke him perish from the world." This pretty much summarizes the Pharisees' attitude toward the lost, the unfit, the castaways. Now contrast these words with what Jesus says about himself in John 19:10. Jesus says, "For I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save that which is lost." The truth is, we and the Pharisees need to see ourselves as the one sheep that's lost. It's so easy to see ourselves as the 99 that we miss the entire point of Jesus' parable. In fact, if we cannot see ourselves as the one lost for whom Jesus came, we will have little sympathy for those in a lost condition today. And the truth is, there are so many ways to be lost today. Some people today, and maybe there are some of those here this morning, feel the lostness of never having felt God's love for them or accepted His gift of forgiveness. Others are lost because they no longer want Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to guide their lives. Oh, one day they were under His care and direction, but they made a bad decision to turn their back and to go their own way. Still others have lost their direction. They have chased after far too many alternatives this world offers that takes the place of a clear conviction of God's right and wrong. They've given in to the popular dead-end street saying, "Hey, but everybody's doing it." Some here are lost today because they're in the lostness of a broken relationship, feeling unloved, left in the dirt, wondering if anybody cares about them, even God. But by far, the worst lostness. Are you ready for this? The worst lostness is not even knowing that we're lost, like the Pharisees in Luke 15. The evidence that they and we are lost include these symptoms, and listen carefully. A lack of even caring about the spiritually lost. An insensitivity to the pain and struggles of others. An attitude of judgmentalism toward others. Oh, and the mess they've gotten themselves into. Does that sound like any modern churches or modern believers today? Could that sound like us? Does that sound like the opening parable of the life-saving station? Well, I hope you're ready for some good news this morning. Because the good news of the gospel is this: however you are lost, however you are lost, Jesus has left the 99 and He's searching for you. Please know that our good shepherd's staff is in the shape of a cross. Jesus' attitude toward the lost, the wounded, the sinner, is always forgiveness, not judgment. The shepherd's staff is that crook-shaped staff that He uses to gently guide and direct His sheep. His staff is never used to punish and to hurt the sheep. Look above our altar. See there our good shepherd upon His cross. What a clear picture of Him seeking and saving those who are lost. There we see the very heart of God. There we see what God is really all about. Now, lest this point gets missed in the parable of the lost sheep, in Luke 15, Jesus tells parable number 2, the parable of the lost coin. Listen to verse 8. Jesus says, "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, doesn't light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it?" Why the big deal over one lousy coin? She had 10. 9 out of 10 ain't bad. This coin was a drachma, worth about the daily wage of a laborer at that time, about 20 cents at that time. But the issue here was more than just the value of the coin. You see, these 10 coins were part of a headpiece she wore around her head called a samadhi. A samadhi was like an engagement present from her fiancé. Losing one coin off her samadhi would be like a woman losing a diamond off her engagement ring. And the search for this small coin was not easy. Palestinian homes, their floors were covered with dirt. And on top of that was straw. The home seldom had windows big enough for the daylight to come in. And in Luke 15, verse 8, listen to how her search is described. She lit a lamp. She swept the house. She searched carefully. Lit a lamp. Swept the house. Searched carefully. The point of Jesus' parable is this. If a woman would go to all this trouble to find a tiny coin, to restore her samadhi, to restore the gift that symbolizes her beloved's love for her, how much more would God search for you and for me, whom he loves so dearly? Did you notice where the coin was lost? A quick reading of the parable might make our eyes go over this point. It's a key point. The coin was lost in the house. Now, why it was lost or how it was lost, we're not told. But we know it was lost in the house. So what? The Pharisees of Jesus' day referred to themselves as the house of Israel. Today, this spiritual Israel is called the church, sometimes called the house of God. The point is that people can even get lost from God in his house, the church. Let me ask you, how about some inactive members of our congregation you haven't seen in months or maybe years? Do you know why they're not here? Do you care that they're not here? Or is it just easier not to get involved, or maybe even just to wring our fingers in judgment? How about those who attend worship regularly, but feel a lostness inside because they don't feel they can share their pain with somebody else? They wonder, if I really shared my lostness, would people feel so uncomfortable with me that they would just turn away? It seems that almost every week, I'm in touch with people on the fringes of our congregation. Folks in various stages of feeling lost. They feel like lost sheep, like lost coins. They wonder, is anybody looking for them? So here's a challenge for each of us here today. Yes, for each of us, not the person sitting next to you or the person in back of you or in front of you, but for each of us. Ask God to lay on your heart the name of one person in this congregation or in your life who is lost and hurting. In the name of Jesus, cast away that old Pharisee attitude of, I'm sure glad I'm not like them. Instead, see them through Jesus' eyes. And like Jesus, your good shepherd, leave the 99 and seek out that one lost, loving them, inviting them, gently bringing them back into the sheepfold. This is our role as part of God's search and rescue team. We'll pray more about that in our prayers today. Well, how do both parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin end? When they're found, Jesus says, there's a big celebration, a party with all the trimmings. Jesus describes it in this way. He says, there will then be a joy in heaven and a joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner comes home. Remember our opening parable of the little life-saving station that turned into a country club? May it never be that we here as Trinity Lutheran Church lose our calling and our vision as a life-saving station. May we resist every temptation of becoming a members-only country club. Dear Lord Jesus, you who came to seek the lost and save those who are lost, give us a new resolve and a new joy. Give us a joy in heaven and a joy before the angels to be as individuals and as a congregation a part of your life-saving station. In the name of Jesus, amen.